It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaz, Ton Bettis with you, broadcasting live from Rocktop Surfaces in Springville on 400 South. Come out and see us and enter the drawing to win a $2,500 gift card. Let's go back to our listeners now. And Brent is waiting patiently on the line. And Brent, what is your question this morning?
Yes, I've got questions about the use of Roundup. Mm-hmm. I've heard you speak here and there. I've only caught bits and pieces of it, so I just want to hear it from the beginning to end. Can I, I've got morning glory that's creeping up into the areas where I plant my tomatoes, and can I spray? I mean, I usually plant the tomatoes in kind of, late or mid to late May. Can I start spraying on that area now or over the next few weeks?
No, you can't, because Roundup is only effective in actively growing plants. And when you just spray it on the soil, the active ingredient is bound in the soil very quickly. And so when you're using the recommended rates, it is not soil active. And so anything you sprayed now, I would rather you take your $30 or $40 that you're going to spend on Roundup and go to Wendover and have some fun. So, go ahead.
But when it does start to come up, and
yes, and that will be right now, more mid to late May, June, is when you could. Now you want to be a little careful because you don't want to get drift on your tomatoes. Now
yes.
Roundup is not as likely to drift, but if you have them adjacent to each other, you run into problems. Now, there is a video on our Facebook page and on our YouTube channel that will talk about controlling Roundup in flower beds, and it may be a method you could use to where you basically get a gallon Ziploc, and you would let the morning glory grow up to be about a foot to 18 inches. As soon as you see it start to flower is in the timing. But what you would do is gather the morning glory into bundles and then put those bundles still connected to the ground, to the roots, in the bags, and then seal the bags the best you can with the stems going in. You'd get a small sprayer, like a 2-quart or a 1-quart sprayer, mix up Roundup, and then put a little hole in the bag and spray that into the bag until the bindweed or the morning glory in there is saturated. You don't need sloshing water, but you do need it covered. Then, after you have sprayed into the bag, get an old towel or an old piece of cardboard and put it on top of the bag to keep the sun's heat off, because you don't want those vines cooking in the hot sun in that bag. So you're going to leave that in the bag overnight, so for about 24 hours. And then go out, and you can take the bag off and take the cardboard off. But what will happen, because that bag is at 100% humidity, the openings in the leaves will just keep absorbing and absorbing that Roundup. And you do that once or twice in the summer, and you can actually do a lot to control the bindweed around your patch without exposing your tomatoes.
Okay, so you said that you've got a YouTube channel that discusses this?
Yes, if you go to YouTube and just search KSL Greenhouse, there is a video up that you can watch, a video of how to do it.
Okay, well, then let me ask you this. So right now, I didn't keep up on it last summer, but now I've got this other weed. It looks like it's growing. It's really green out there right now. I mean, and it's just taken over. It's not a vegetable garden, but it's just, decorative plants. And it, like I said, it's really green right now. Would it do any good now to go out there and spray those?
The glyphosate's effective at temperatures above 50 degrees, and so you would probably need to wait until late February into March.
Okay.
And you want it above 50 for a stretch of 4 or 5 days. And so if you can, as soon as you get that is when you can start using Roundup.
Okay.
Now, and if then... you wanted, you could get a weed torch, and you can pick those up from hardware stores. And anything that's green, you don't want to start a fire and burn your house down. But if you have green weeds out in the garden area or this area, you can cook them with a weed torch.
A weed torch. Okay.
They're $50 or $60, but they're fun. You know, you got your little mini flamethrower, and you need
Here
a propane tank, and
flamethrowers are fun.
Yeah,
okay,
so you
this
would
is a greenhouse show.
Our attorneys with Bonneville are like, we do not associate ourselves with this program. The opinions are the hosts alone, and doing all the legal stuff. But when I say fun, I'm not saying go out and pretend that you're like Voltron or something. But they can be kind of satisfying. You don't need to cook the weeds to a crisp. As long as they are wilted down, you move on. But with the wet soil and the cold temperatures, it's as long as you don't have a lot of dead plant debris in the area, it's a pretty good time to use a weed torch.
So, my last question is, we've got some fruit trees in a pea gravel area, and again, last year I didn't just keep up with it, and now all these weeds and the different kind of morning glory are just kind of taking over again. But so you're saying that as long as I don't spray Roundup on the tree itself, I can kind of spray around it, near it, and
you can,
and say,
because the Roundup is not soil active.
Yeah, so because that's my wife is really paranoid, saying, "Hey, you spray it, you know, it's going to absorb in the soil, and the tomato is going to absorb it, and it's going to kill us all." So
no, I mean, you fill your car up with gasoline frequently, and gasoline is far more toxic than glyphosate.
Okay,
where you expose yourself to quite a few things, even table salt is more harmful to the body used in concentration than glyphosate. You know, I'm not saying glyphosate is great. I prefer not to use it if I can avoid it. You know, there's other things you can do, like the weed torch and cultivation and things, but for a once or twice a year use, if you're wearing the label recommended clothing for safety and following the instructions, you're is going to be low, and because it's bound in the soil, it's not going to be absorbed by plants, you know, in your garden or in your fruit trees. Now, I'm not advocating going out once a week and just having a Roundup fest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, with this warm weather, is it okay to prune blackberries yet?
Yeah, you can get them pruned.
Okay.
As long as you follow the instructions, any time from late fall to very early spring, you can prune blackberries and raspberries.
They're excited. What about crabapple or black lace elderberry?
I would wait till mid-February on the crabapple and mid-March on the elderberry. So.
Okay. Next person says, how early would you start tomatoes if you're going to use walls of water?
I would start them 2 to 3 weeks ahead. So normally we recommend starting tomatoes in late March to early April. I would kick that back to early March to maybe late February. You can use those walls of water, and they'll buy you between 2 and 4 weeks.
Next person would like to plant 4 o'clock seeds. Are they better started ahead or just started outside?
You can start them outside. You need to mark where you plant so you don't accidentally weed them out.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, the 4 o'clocks, you can buy them in containers or you can buy the seed.
Okay, let's take a break. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We are coming to you today from Rocktop Services in Springville here on 400 South. It's the grand opening. And with me is Dave Jones. He is the manager. And Dave, I asked you earlier, what makes a difference? What makes Rocktops different than other companies? And your answer was...
Well, I think it was our products and the different things that we do here. I think a key thing is the people that we have here. Our owner, Blair Schmokel, prides himself on hiring good people. We've got people that in the Spanish Fork store, for instance, Jody and Sterling, they've been there for over 20 years. In Springville here, we've got myself and Stockton and Macon and Mickey. We've all been in the business for many years. And then we've got up in our Sandy store, which is part of the grand opening, Connie and Matt are up there. And then we've got Joe and his team up in Park City. And so we've got such really good people and that really care about the job that they're doing and the working with homeowners and the needs and of those homeowners and what they're looking to do. We understand that, you know, whatever money somebody puts into their home is an investment. And so it's a lot of money. And so we want to make sure that we help them make the best value for what they have and fits their needs. We're not looking for the quick sale and okay, hey, you know, we're done and then move on. And then, you know, maybe the product doesn't perform after a couple of years. We want to really make sure they know what they're buying and try and be fair and competitive with our pricing. We have stocking products with our granite and quartz, hard surfaces, waterproof flooring. We stock a lot of products and try and stay ahead of this shipping issues that mm-hmm. are out there for everybody.
Well, it's important. People don't want to wait months and months and months for things that they, you know, want to do. So
yeah.
That's so important. And your warranty, you can't beat that.
Right, right. We've got that's probably the thing that really will stand out is that love it or leave it warranty where after 30 days, if it's something that's just as you don't feel it's right, then we'll replace it. And there's some things that we'll share with people when they come in and say, you know, exactly what goes on with that. But it is, as we say, it's a love it or leave it. And so it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes that color just doesn't fit. And they just like, I don't want it. Maybe it's more purpley than you thought it would be, and it just doesn't work. And so we'll replace that for you.
For your grand opening of this location, you have a wonderful drawing that's underway at all of your stores.
We do, and it's a $2,500 gift card that goes towards any project, whether it's a countertop or a flooring project. And if they can't make it in today to the stores, we've got a few weeks for that to go in the future, and we want to make sure that it goes to a good place. And it's a lot of money, and it will help. We had a customer in her earlier. She said she was over budget, so she's hoping that she's the one that,
right.
that wins it. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're only here till 11, but and we've appreciated being here. It's been
Thank you.
Fun to be here today.
Yeah.
But for folks who haven't made it in, what are your regular hours so people can make it in?
Yeah, so on Saturdays, we're from 10 to 6. During the week, Monday through Friday, it's 10 to 7.
All right.
Yeah, we're closed on Sunday.
Thanks again. And
You're
again,
welcome.
We are at Rocktop Surfaces on 400 South in Springville. Mm-hmm. And we'll be right back.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you for this last segment. Again, we are coming to you from Rocktop Surfaces in Springville on 400 South. We have Nate who is standing by on the phone. And Nate, what is your question this morning?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if it's worth trying to save a silver maple tree. I've got it's probably 25, 30 foot tree now. And had it when we moved in, and it's weeds just get more yellow every single year. And we tried to remedy it with some chelated iron from the iron chlorosis, but I'm concerned that it's just not a healthy tree if it can't get the sun production that it needs out of it. And not sure if it's really worth trying to save it or to replace it.
Well, you're finding that it's going to be, you know, that chelated iron. Did you use the powder stuff like the Miller Ferra Plus?
I did the liquid.
Okay, and did it have EDGHA iron in it, or was it?
Because it was Fertilome. I don't know.
Okay, it probably did not. And the form of chelate in a lot of those liquid products is not effective in our highly high alkaline soil. And so you really need to spend, like, the filet mignon prices for the $25 a pound iron, like Miller Farrah Plus, so that you have a better chance. And so I would treat it one more time with Miller Farrah Plus.
Okay.
It'll become, you can pick that up right now from IFA or Steve Regan or local garden centers. Then what I would also do is get some chelate, or not chelate, but humic acid, liquid humic acid.
Uh-huh.
Hang on one second. Nate, do you have the radio up in the background? Because we're getting some really strange feedback. If you could turn that down for us, that might help that problem.
I've got you on a Bluetooth set, so.
Oh, okay. So that might be.
Let me take it off of that.
Yeah, our apologies. It's creating
better?
A really straight. Yes, much better. Now, go ahead, Tom.
Okay. So we're just, and I know if there's USU people listening and I'm recommending humic acid, it's a use case scenario for specific to this, so please don't hunt me down. So on the humic acid, what you're going to do is when you put the chelate down, apply humic acid and also a light application of triple 16 or 20-00 fertilizer. Do all three. And what I'm trying to do is maximize the uptake of this iron. And it's going to be critical that you put this iron down sometime in late March or early April.
Okay.
Before the tree leaves out. When you start to see bud expansion and we're regularly above 40 or 45 degrees, then it's time to get this stuff down. So you're going to do the humic acid, the chelated iron, the $25 a pound stuff like the Miller Farrah Plus, and then also an application of triple 16 or 20-00. And I'm hoping that the nitrogen will temporarily help free up some nutrients and that temporarily the humic acid will free up nutrients, even if it's just for a 4 or 5 day period. But I'm trying to maximize the amount of iron the tree can absorb. So once that tree leaves out and you get into mid to late May and you kind of know what it looks like, then you can see if the humics and the EDDHA iron worked. You know, if that's marginally effective, then I would just turn the tree, repurpose it into firewood or barbecue wood.
Yeah. It is, I guess, two questions on that then. You said liquid, not granular, for the humic acid.
It's just easier to apply. You can do granule. That's fine.
Okay, because I already have granule.
So okay, if you have granule, just use your fertilizer spreader to spread it under the tree.
Okay, and then as far as the, is there any, you know, put one down over the other or make sure it gets watered in real well or anything like that?
I would do the chelated iron. What you're going to do is mix that up in 5 gallon buckets.
Okay.
And then go under the canopy back and forth in kind of a snake-like pattern and just pour that under the canopy of the tree. And then you're going to put your humate down and your fertilizer. And then even if you have to run a hose off of your house, water under the canopy of the tree in for about 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay. And the last question is, the trunk's probably close to 10, 12 inches in diameter. How much of this iron am I going to need?
You'll need to look at the package label, but you'll at least use an entire can. And we're kind of running short on time, but you know, you are going to run in, as the tree gets bigger, probably a $50 to $100, $50 to $70 investment annually to try to keep this thing green. And so you need to figure that into your decision.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. Todd, I'm noticing we're just getting a number of calls since we are seeing warmer temperatures. People wondering whether they can prune all sorts of fruit trees, peach tree, apricot trees. What's your recommendation?
Unless you must, wait on the apples and pears until mid-February and on the stone fruits mid-March.
Mm-hmm.
You can prune now if you must. But if we get a cold snap, let's say you prune and all of a sudden it goes from 25 at night down to zero, especially in peaches and cherries, you can really damage the trees. Apples and pears are less sensitive to that, but unless they're like you're going out of town for the entire month or there's other extenuating circumstances on your fruit trees, apples and pears in February, the stone fruits in March.
Next person says they have two Canadian redbud trees. The bark is peeling. They've treated them for the last couple of years with a deep iron treatment. They're planted in sandy soil. Any other suggestions?
It sounds more like sunscald to me than anything iron would fix. They may consider wrapping the tree with a tree wrap, a white colored tree wrap in the fall, and see if the book will, or the bark will push back around to where the bark is damaged.
Okay. Next person says they have a 200-foot lot and they'd like to plant a row of Zelkova trees, but how far apart should they plant them?
It depends on how quickly they want them to fill in, if they want them to grow into each other, and if they want individual specimens. If they want them to grow into each other, I would put them every 20 feet, maybe every 15, but that's a little close. If they want individual specimens, it would be closer to 30-foot centers, and so it just depends on what they're looking for.
Okay, and next listener is calling from American Fork, and they want to know where they can find a yellow lilac tree.
Mail order is probably going to be your best bet. Every once in a while, garden centers will have a few in. They're more of a creamy color, not really a true yellow.
I wasn't sure that I'd ever seen a yellow
one. You can
one.
Find them online.
Okay, so that would be your best bet.
Yeah.
It was great to have just a wide variety of listeners that called in and texted this morning. We covered some great things that if you are just tuning into the Greenhouse Show, because we know the sun's coming up and it's not coming up bright and early in the morning and you're just getting up. We did cover a lot of great stuff this morning that people can check out on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. You put up a couple of articles on different times and when to start items.
Yes, one on when to plant outdoors from either seed or starts, and then one on when to start things indoors if you're growing your own vegetables.
So I love that. You can find those both on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. And the great thing about that is, you know, I always want to have a calendar. I'm always planting the peas late or the beans late. So this really just sets you up so that you can plant your garden successfully this year.
Yes, it's one of the key factors that people get confused about, you know. So knowing when to put them out. And the dates are approximate. You know, there's some cold pockets and warmer areas. But if you follow that guide, it's really good.
We hope you have a great weekend. Join us again next Saturday for the KSL Greenhouse. The Greenhouse today coming to you from Rock Top Surfaces. We are at 400 South in Springville.
Amanda.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.